Can I ask you please to turn with me to the Old Testament scriptures and to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, towards the end of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. I have to be honest and say it's not a book that I preach much from. It's a difficult book. Then God can always open the pages of Scripture. Yet it's a tremendous book, as all the Word of God is. We feel there is a message for us here in chapter 22 of Ezekiel. Chapter 22. And we look to the Lord for His help. Ezekiel chapter 22 and the verse number 1, please. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou, son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, The city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which art infamous and much vexed. Behold, princes of Israel, every one wherein thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with a stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains, in the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness, in thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase. And thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. And hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Behold, therefore I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood, which hath been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. They, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As the silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 22. And we know God always blesses the public reading of his precious word. It's a solemn passage, a humbling passage, but one that we believe the Lord would have us to speak on for tonight. Can I ask you please to turn back with me to prophecy of Ezekiel, to chapter 22. And it is the words of verse 14 that we want to consider by the help of God tonight. They are most solemn words, searching words. Verse 14, can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. With the word of God open before us, we're going to seek his help in a word of prayer, asking for the Lord's blessing and the Lord's help as we come to this word for tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee just now. We come to Thee admitting our weakness and our frailty. Lord, we are poor and needy, yet we rejoice that the Lord does think upon us. And so, God, we pray that You'll think upon this preacher tonight and give us help. Lord, the word that Thou hast given, we pray, O God, that You'll give us help to preach it. Give us help to proclaim it. And, O God, we pray that it will not come with the enticing words of man's wisdom. But, O God, we pray that it might come in the demonstration, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, attend to the preaching tonight. Attend to the hearing of thy word. And, O God, we pray that tonight you'll search out hearts. You'll stir up those that are still in their sin. And, O God, we pray that tonight you'll bring them to thyself. Take a dealing with sinners tonight. Lord, they've heard the message so often before. But, O God, we pray that tonight thy Holy Spirit will come and take such a dealing with them that they'll not even be able to get out of their seat until they come and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Give old-fashioned conviction of sin, we pray tonight. And, O God, we pray that in all of these things that thou will be glorified. Thou art worthy of such. And so, Lord, give us help, we pray, and lead us on with thyself as we seek to proclaim the riches of thy gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. The scenes that are described for us in the opening verses of chapter 22 of Ezekiel are most unpleasant indeed. As you read through them, you can see that every command of the Lord has been broken. And everywhere you look in this place, there is sin and there's evil. The streets of the city are filled with awful acts of violence and murder and crime. People are thronging around chunks of wood and stone and bowing down themselves and worshipping these idols. Immorality, rather than being frowned upon, is now socially acceptable, even within the family unit. Where is the place that is being described here in chapter 22? Is it some heathen pagan nation where the light of the gospel has still not reached? No, the place in question here is the city of Jerusalem, the holy city. We see that from verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. That place when in former days people gathered in the tabernacle to worship and to praise God. But not now. This is a city now that's overrun with such wickedness the people of the city have so far gone so far into depravity and sinfulness. A city and a people which have been so blessed by God beyond measure. A nation, the people of Israel, to whom God had been pleased to send many prophets to minister unto. Yet now a people that have this damning indictment that we read in verse 12, they have forgotten me. They have so far removed themselves from the teachings of Scripture, broken every law of God, and descending more and more into sin. However, in the midst of the darkness of man's sin, God still had a witness. And it was his servant Ezekiel. This was God's man for this apostate age. Ezekiel had a message from God that he must deliver. We read that again and again. The word of the Lord came unto me saying. It wasn't a pleasant message. But because it was a piercing message, it exposed their sin. And as you read through these verses, and we've already read through them, and it would do us well to go through them again, but we don't have time. And you see how that time and time again, through each of the verses, he catalogues all the sins of the people. They're left exposed. God declares that he will not be mocked. And in verse 13, God says, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain. God expresses his anger at their sin. And now he declares his readiness to execute wrath in judgment because of sin. And then in our text in verse 14, we see that this message is piercing, it's pointed. Yet while it's for a people collectively, yet it's for people individually. Can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. God reveals here that he's going to deal with unrepented sin. God is going to judge sin. Nothing has changed. God was going to judge sin in Ezekiel's day. And so God is going to judge sin in our day. If you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ, if you've come in through the doors of this church tonight, we thank you for coming. This is a message for you. Because this is a message that declares God's judgment upon sin. And in this verse we have a very graphic and a very telling account of the judgment of God upon sin. Therefore, as we come to this verse, as we consider verse 14, I want us to consider what I've entitled very simply, God's judgment on sin. God's judgment on sin. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the awful torment of it. The awful torment of it. Look what it says in the opening phrases of verse 14. Can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong? These two phrases bring before us just how awful God's judgment of sin was going to be. Because here we are confronted with man's total weakness and frailty, a sinful man to prevent and to withstand his judgment. And right from the very commencement of this meeting, I want to make it clear to you, sinner, that when you stand, or if you stand before God on that last great day, and you still are in your sin, you'll be judged for your sin. And there is nothing that you'll be able to do to turn it away. There's nothing you'll be able to do to overcome it. It'll be a time of unimaginable anguish and torment. Notice that this torment is due, first of all, to man's condition. Can thine heart endure? God brings before us the condition of man's heart. It's sinful. Oh, I know that's not a message that people like to be confronted with today. Child of God, have you ever gone on the doors and tried to witness to people and confronted them with their sin? They'll turn away. Well, they'll say, yes, the man down the road, yes, he's a sinner. Well, you should hear what he has done. You should hear how he has lived his life. But no, I'm quite all right. I'm not really a sinner. The Bible tells us as we're bringing out again this morning, we're all born in sin. Man in his natural condition is sinful, and sin blinds us to the danger we're really in. Oh, the devil dresses sin up today. He's good at that. Dresses us up as if it's been something pleasant. And yet all the time sin is abhorrent. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. And yet the hearts of man today, which are so stained with sin, it makes them feel they're good enough. They don't realize just how sinful they really are. And that's the case here in Ezekiel's age. They were blinded to their sin. The God of this world hath blinded the eyes of those who believe not. And it is that sin. It is that problem of the heart that if not repented of will be judged by God on that last day. We don't have time to go through all of these verses in Ezekiel 22, but notice just one sin here in verse 8. Verse 8, thou hast despised mine holy things. Oh, they've set aside the teachings of God. Sin has made them feel that they know better than God. That they somehow know more than God knows. And they don't need the teachings of God. Such is the contempt and the pride of man's heart. It makes them feel they're better. It makes them feel that they don't need God. They don't need anything to do with God, and so they set God aside. Sinner, that's exactly what you're doing tonight. You're still in your sin. You think you don't need God. You think you can get through this life all right without all this saved business. You think you're strong enough. You think you're brave enough in your sin. You can do what you want. You can sin all your life. You can do as you please. And think you'll be able to defy the judgment of God. On that great day, that awful day of judgment, when you stand before God and He judges you for your sin, you'll not be able to stand. Great Bible commentator Matthew Henry said, speaking on this verse, there is no sinful heart stout enough to endure it. No matter how strong you think you are tonight, no matter how much you think you can live without Jesus Christ, on that day, sinner, you'll be weak and you'll be helpless. If you could, you would cry on to the mountains to fall upon you. Man's condition, but also man's conduct. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong? See, how they feel in their heart then displays itself in what they do. They were sinful in their heart, and so that was evidenced by their actions. Their hands. Look at verse 3. Look what their hands did. Thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Verse 4, thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. Their hands were strong to sin because of the sinful condition of their heart. They were strong in the pursuit of evil and the pursuit of idolatry. So it is still today. Man does those things that he believes right. And man shakes his fist in the face of Almighty God and says, look at me. Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm living for myself. I don't need this salvation. I'm all right. I'm fine without it. Thank you very much. I don't need to repent of my sins. I don't need to turn. But sinner, you'll not be strong enough on that day of judgment. It's an awful day of torment. An awful day of anguish. Remember the rich man over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. What does it say about him? In torments. In torments. He was tormented in this flame. And that's the awful anguish and agony of God's judgment on sin when he condemns a sinner to a lost sinner's hell. Sinner, tonight, this is what awaits you. If you continue on in your sin, and you continue to reject Jesus Christ, and you continue to think you're all right, there'll come a day of awful torment. God smites his hand to condemn you. In the day of his wrath, there's nothing you'll be able to do to withstand it. Oh, no throwing up of the hands to plead for mercy, because it'll be gone. No petitioning of the hands for God because of compassion, because your day of opportunity will be past. Just like the people in Ezekiel 22, you'll be judged for your sin. The psalmist says, if the Lord should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? God were to mark the iniquity of your heart tonight, sinner, there is nothing you could do to withstand it. If God were to come to your heart tonight as he came to that rich farmer that we read about in Luke's Gospel, who had lived his life in ease, lived his life in pleasure, and he was going to build greater, he was going to pull down his barns. God came to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Sinner, tonight, if God were to come to you, if God were to come to you this night and say, thy soul shall be required of thee, and you're still in your sin, an awful day of torment, an awful day of anguish, and there's nothing you'll be able to do to withstand it. Therefore, tonight, we urge you in the Lord's name to turn from your sin, to flee from the wrath of God, and to flee to Christ. The awful torment of it. But I want you to see further with me here in this verse, the appointed time of it. The verse goes on, in the days, verse 14, in the days that I shall deal with thee. In the days that I shall deal with thee, there is coming a day of judgment. Notice here God's day. In the days that I. This is man's day. Sinner, this is your day. Just as it was in Ezekiel's day, man was living up in his sin, going as far into sin as he could, laughing in the face of Almighty God. It was man's day, but sinner, God will have his day. Make no mistake about it. And that day, the day of God's judgment, be his day. It was coming for the people of Ezekiel's age. It's coming for the people of this age as well. The prophet Isaiah, he ministered and warned the people of his generation of a coming day as well. Again, they were a privileged people. They had turned their backs upon God, and Isaiah issues the warning that we find in Isaiah 10 and the verse 3. It says, "What will ye do in the day of visitation? What will ye do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom? To whom will ye flee for help?" It was coming in Isaiah's time. The Apostle Paul spoke of this same truth of a day of judgment. Turn over with me briefly, please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Here Paul is preaching on Mars Hill in the great city of Athens. A city where it's often said that there were more gods than men. And he points out their sin of worshipping false gods. And in verse 30 of Acts chapter 17, look what he says. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at." Or God overlooked their sin. There's the mercy of God. Oh, they were worshipping all sorts of false gods. And God could have cut them off, but God was merciful to them. But look what it says towards the end of verse 30. "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? Because, verse 31, "He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." There would be a day of judgment. God's day. Sinner, it's coming. It's coming for you as well. And how shalt thou do in that day? It's not only God's day in this verse, but notice also God's dealings. Ezekiel chapter 22 in the verse 14, it goes on, "In the days that I shall deal with thee." What intensity there is in that little word, deal. Deal. "In the days that I shall deal with thee." This word is used seven times alone in Ezekiel, and in the majority of times, it's used in reference to the severity and the harshness of how these people would be dealt with. Over in Ezekiel chapter 8 and the verse 18, he says, "Therefore I will also deal in fury." In chapter 23 and the verse 25, again, "And they shall deal furiously with thee." We see it in relation to the unbearable treatment that these people would receive at the hands of their captors. It's intense language. We get an insight into the dealings of God of these people in those latter verses that we read in chapter 22. Turn with me to Ezekiel 22 and the verses 20 through to 22. as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so I will gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there. That's an awful thought. That's a terrible thought, sinner, that should shake you to your very foundations. That in God's day, when He deals with you, He'll leave you. He'll give you up. All these baser metals that we've read about, all types of sinners. And on that day, hear the most terrible words that a person will ever hear. Depart. Depart from me, I never knew you. That will be God's ultimate dealing with you. It'll be God's final dealing with you. Damnation forevermore in hell. No longer will He deal with you in mercy, but in wrath. Therefore tonight, I urge you in Christ's name, flee from that wrath. While God is still speaking to you, while there is still opportunity, while we're still in the day of grace, sinner, get saved. Get right with God. Do it tonight. As we close, we see not only the awful torment of it, the appointed time of it, but finally, the absolute guarantee of it. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. What God says He will do, He will do. You know, sinner, your greatest desire will be in that day of judgment that God will have a change of mind and a change of heart. But no, He says here, I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. One of the great Puritan writers, a man by the name of William Greenhill, who preached in a church in Middlesex, England, he said this, where He, speaking of God, hath a mouth to speak, He hath a power to do, and no power can hinder Him. God, the righteous judge, must and will execute judgment. Oh, He is merciful, but He is also just. And He will judge sin. He judged it in Noah's day. He judged it in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. And sinner, whether you believe it or not, it will happen. In spite of all their privileges. In spite of all the blessings that this people enjoyed. They continued in their sin. And God says, I'm going to judge your sin. Tonight in this gospel meeting, God has been good to you. You've heard the gospel perhaps from your very earliest days. And you've sat in this church week after week and you've heard your need to be saved. And you, as it were, have been cradled in the gospel, but still tonight you're in your sin. You're still rejecting Jesus Christ. Sure that one day, if you continue and persist in that sin, you will be judged for it. What an awful day that will be. You'll remember every time you sat under the preaching of the Word of God. Those old worms of conscience It'll prick you every time you remember that you heard that you needed to be saved. Brought up in the gospel, but lost. Old Bishop J.C. Ryle, that great Anglican Bishop of Liverpool, he said, "The saddest road to hell is that which runs under the pulpit, past the Bible and through the midst of invitations and warnings." What a sad thing it would be. In fact, what a terrible thing it would be for someone, having been brought up in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, to be lost in hell. This was a solemn message, sobering message. But I cannot close on that note because I believe it's also a message of hope. Why? Because it speaks of a future event. The entire sense of these words are something that will happen, yes, will happen at some time. But there's opportunity to do something about it now. There is opportunity to remedy the situation in sinner tonight. There's hope. And the hope is in the gospel. The hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and died on Calvary's cross, took your punishment for sin, became your substitute, endured hell on the cross that you would not have to go there. Sinner tonight, what is it that you need to escape the wrath of God? It's Jesus Christ. And you need to come to Him tonight. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to realize that before God you are a sinner. And you need to repent of that sin. And you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. It doesn't matter how often you've rejected the gospel. It doesn't matter how often you've walked out the doors of this church. You come tonight just the way you are. He'll save you. He'll save you gladly. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Sinner, will you come tonight? Will you escape the wrath and the judgment of God that is due for you for sin? Will you be saved tonight? Don't leave it a moment longer. Don't think you'll come back next Lord's Day, hear the same message, and perhaps then you'll make it right with God. God says now, today. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. This is God's day. This is God's day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Sinner, will you come? While God in His mercy is dealing with you, God is speaking to you, I pray you will come. May God give you the grace so to do. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Sinner, tonight you must realize that there is a day of judgment coming for sin. But you must also realize that there is a way of escape. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to speak to us about spiritual things, you're concerned about your soul, and you want to get ready for the day of your death, you want to get right with God, you want to be saved, you make your need known to someone in the congregation. Speak to us at the door. Stay behind while others leave. whatever you do tonight, get right with God. Be saved now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll write the words, thy words, upon hearts tonight. We pray, O God, that thy word will pierce deep into the hearts of sinners. Lord, we realize there is a day of judgment coming for sin. What an awful day it will be for those who stand before thee still in their sin. Lord, we thank thee tonight thou hast provided a way of escape through the death, burial, and the resurrection of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped in and became our substitute for sin. Lord, we thank thee tonight that there is salvation found in him and in him alone. We pray, O Lord, that tonight sinners will get to the cross tonight. That sinners tonight will be saved. That they'll flee from the wrath which is to come. And they'll flee to thy dear Son. Give grace so to do. Give help, we ask of thee, to every sinner to come. Continue on with us, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.